In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We got to hold on to that because the world's already moved on. It's not our fault they're wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Good. This is a good day for us to be reminded that as we stand here today, we are remembering this time in which Jesus came into the world as the Christ child. Began a new day. This is a new day. And we have a chance to live more fully into it. It's always been a new day for us. You know, we weren't hanging out when Jesus was born. Well, most of us weren't. But the reality is, it signaled something. And what it signaled and signified is what Paul is trying to tell the church today. Same as he was trying to tell the Galatians so many years ago. And listen to what he has to say. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. This is key understanding of this new day that we live in. We've all been given rules to follow in our life at different times, amen? And we try to adhere to them. And what happens when we fail to adhere to a rule? What happens to us internally? We feel like we failed. Well, some of us really appreciate breaking rules. I know, you're laughing. But the reality is this. We're living in this new day. Now, something interesting happens today, you may have noticed. If you look at the readings as they're set in your bulletin, you'll notice we skip a section. Now, there's lots of reasons why the lectionary might skip a section within the reading. Sometimes it seems redundant, and sometimes, well, honestly, sometimes it sounds too challenging. I suspect today they thought, well, it's getting the point without all those details. But I want us to hear the detail because I think it's so important for us to understand more fully what it is God is saying to us as he has now entered into this world. So let me read it to you. Or you can follow along if you'd like. We're going to start verse 26, chapter 3 of Paul's letter. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property, but they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. This is both a reminder of the new day and who we are in Christ Jesus. But Paul is also trying to encourage the church to more fully understand exactly what this could mean. I want to look again at verse 1 in chapter 4. Paul's point is this, and I want to see if I can't help drive his point home a little bit. My point is this, heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. I think we struggle to understand the fullness of what it means to be an heir. I think sometimes we see, we'll claim the fact that we're an heir, but we really function as though we're a minor. That we don't fully have everything that God has offered us, and somehow are waiting for him to give us more. And that's not the reality. See, Christ has come. And in our faith, we have this understanding that we now have this new day. The law is the law. He did not come to abolish it, but he came to fulfill it so that we may live by the Spirit of God into the fullness of who God's called us to be. And that is the opportunity we have, but I think we struggle. And sometimes it's because, and I say we, you know I mean me, but I think the problem comes with what we've been taught along the way. So in my early years in the church, I was told very clearly that you follow the rules. And if you do not follow the rules, by the way, God is going to get you. I believed that. I believed it at such a level that when I didn't follow the rules, and believe me, I got way outside the rules, I knew that God would not have me back because I was too far gone. See, the struggle, brothers and sisters, is we now have Jesus, but we still act like we have a disciplinarian. See, God is not the disciplinarian. God is the God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. He actually wants us. I know this is hard to believe because nobody else wants it. God actually wants us to come to him in our brokenness so that he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, can bring us up to him. So many of us are still striving with our own laws that we've created that maybe if I go to church, that'll be good enough. I can get that rule into my life, and then hopefully that will be enough. Maybe that will earn my place with God, which you cannot earn because it's already yours. We keep striving to do better, be better, and the rest, and we keep trying to do it on our own. But we are heirs. We have been made children of God through Jesus Christ. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we can respond to this grace and mercy offered to us so that we can grow into the fullness of who God created us to be rather than being trapped in this world or trapped by this world. Now, I know how difficult it is. When I grew up in the church, I knew I couldn't go back. Too far gone. And then I went back to church, mainly because my children weren't really catching on to the rules, so I needed a disciplinarian on my side, and I figured it would be God. And then God did something else. Now, when I was in seminary, there's a group of people who were returning to the denomination in which I grew up. And I was listening, and I was older, and, you know, I'm always prone to keeping my mouth shut and staying out of things. And I'm listening to them. I said, you know who wants to go back there? And they're like, who? They're excited. They wanted to know who was going. I said, only people who've never been there. Have you been there? I have. And you'd never go back? I said, no, because I've discovered that Jesus loves me. And that God is not out to get me. Why would I turn away from that? Now, that was just my understanding, not necessarily the teaching. But we're given this opportunity because Jesus has entered in. See, it's a new day. Yes, he's going to guide us and lead us, but he does it with grace and mercy and love. It changes us. But we have to be willing to change with him. In this book that I grabbed off my shelf yesterday afternoon, might have been later in the evening, there's a story in here that was written by a priest named Morton Kelsey. And I'm just going to read it to you as it's written in here. Perhaps we are all in the position of the man in Morton Kelsey's story who came to the edge of an abyss. As he stood there, wondering what to do next, he was amazed to discover a tightrope stretched across the abyss, and slowly, surely, across the rope came an acrobat, pushing before him a wheelbarrow with another performer in it. When they finally reached the safety of solid ground, the acrobat smiled at the man's amazement. "Don't you think I can do it again?" he asked. And the man replied, "Why, yes. I certainly believe you can." The acrobat put his question again, and when the answer was the same, He pointed to the wheelbarrow and said, "Good, then get in and I will take you across." What did the traveler do? This is just a question we have to ask ourselves about Jesus Christ. Do we state our belief in him in no uncertain terms, even in finely articulated creeds, and then refuse to get into the wheelbarrow? What we do about the lordship of Jesus is a better indication of our faith than what we think. This is what the world wants from our rhetoric, what the man of God longs for in a shepherd: someone daring enough to be different, humble enough to make mistakes, wild enough to be burned in the fire of love, real enough to make others see how phony we are. Brothers and sisters, many of us have spent a lifetime being taught how to play church. It's not really working out. What we have is a reminder today of what it means to be the church. And what it means is we have to trust this Jesus that we've been proclaiming as Lord and Savior, that we have been focusing on for the last week, and singing songs and experiencing the joy of this understanding. But understand this, it's a new day. We can claim Jesus in word and remain slaves to sin, or we can claim our adoption and be an heir through God, and let him bring us nearer. Lay your life down, brothers and sisters. It's a new day. It's in good hands. Get into wheelbarrow.